You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Do you like what you're hearing right now? Then be sure to check out VOC Nation. Whether it's on VOCNation.com or your favorite podcast provider, VOC Nation offers the greatest in live and on-demand content, great interviews, and incredible insight from those who have lived the business. 7 days a week, VOCNation.com. And don't forget to check us out on Twitter at VOC Nation.
This is Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the VOC Nation.
My name is Brian Pillman Jr., and you're listening to the In the Room podcast.
Gentlemen, welcome back. It's In the Room on the VOC Nation Wrestling Network. We are here live at VOCNation.com. Brady Hicks here. And, God, what a show I got planned for tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun. We have a very special guest, ECWA alumni, Travis. Sorry about that. Am I unmuted? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, I got you.
I got you. Okay. So, somebody, one of the listeners was telling me that they couldn't hear me, so they got to fix that themselves. Sorry about that. So, anyway, joining us tonight will be Travis Blake from the ECWA, formerly of the ECWA, and he's going to be part of the Super 8 tournament. The information splashed there on the bottom of your screen. Tickets and information, ECWAWrestling.com. Anyway, so we got Travis Blake tonight. I had the topic of, like, fixing a booking for somebody. Guys, it's been a crazy week for me. I haven't done my homework. Now, that doesn't mean I might not be able to come up with something on the fly, but it's not going to be that usual quality that you've come to expect from me. But I do have to apologize. We also... That was a joke, Kathy. You're allowed to laugh.
Ha ha.
Kathy Fitz, what's going on?
How you doing, Brady?
Good, good. How you? Everything good? You feeling better?
Getting there, but day by day.
Okay. All right. Wasn't something you picked up at the polls, was it?
No.
You gotta be careful. Gotta be careful working the polls. There's a lot of...
Cut it out, Howard.
Howard was in charge of wiping the polls for years. That gentleman, it was one of those true gentlemen's clubs. Now I'm only playing.
We only use top quality disinfectant.
Exactly. Homemade.
Homemade, yeah.
Matt Grimm joining us, at least until I made that joke. What's going on, Matt? How you doing? You there? I think Matt Grimm's having trouble tonight. Well, hopefully he's able to get on. Howard Morgan, how you doing, man?
I'm actually pretty exhausted. I'm probably only going to be on for the first hour. I just got in from Quincy, Illinois about an hour ago.
Okay. Oh, geez. Are you home now?
Yeah, I'm home. Yeah, I flew out yesterday and I flew back today.
Boy, are your arms tired.
Yeah. But, you know, you get used to it.
Sure. No, I hear you. That's cool. The other thing that I wanted to talk about tonight, and let me again remind you guys, as you can see on the screen, from the Incognito browser on your phone, your tablet, your computer, just visit callvoc.com. And what we're starting to run into, and this is what I feared when I started doing it this way with this number, is some of the regular listeners who aren't as savvy as us, Kathy, don't know how to do an incognito browser, so they're starting to run into problems where the line doesn't work.
Speak for yourself. I still have problems.
Oh, okay. Well, Rat Boy figures it out every week, so I assume that we're good. He's my barometer.
That's setting the ball awfully low.
Well, that's how I feel, but you would think, right?
Almost on the ground.
Can Rat Boy do it? Walk on two legs. Can Rat Boy do it? Yes, then you should be able to. Unless you're handicapped, of course. Matt Grimm, what's going on, man? He's still having trouble. I don't know, man.
But I don't know how many of our thousands of listeners tuned in Thursday night, but I had Strobel on the line for almost an hour Thursday.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I tuned in for some of it. I have to sit down and listen to the whole thing. But it's always great to hear his voice. And he sounded like 100% better than he did back in December when he called it.
No, he almost sounded like the old Stro that we all have come to know and love.
I miss that guy.
And I got a call from Granny Hulkster the other night, and she's very apologetic for not calling in as often. But she does say thank you, everybody, for their prayers and condolences over the last couple of weeks. You know, it really is helping her get through, you know, a very difficult time, you know, in her life.
Sure. Although I as I kind of told her, she didn't call in that much anyway. It's I understand. She's still upset that I tagged her in that. Matt sent that video. Matt, are you there now? I don't know what's going on, man. Do you have your phone muted or something? I don't know. But anyway, Matt sent along this video of like a person spraying like cleaner on a stove, spraying the NWO with the NWO, and I tagged Granny in it.
That was cool. I saw that.
Yeah. So anyway, the other thing that I wanted to talk about tonight, and again, from the incognito browser of your phone, your tablet, your computer, or you can just go and delete the cookies every couple days. You can do that as well. Whatever works for you, but basically, it's a forwarded website from callvoc.com to our StreamYard account. So callvoc.com. I want to talk about Sting. Now, I was never a huge Sting fan, but I feel like all across the industry, even WWE is acknowledging that Sting had his last match. And I think it's such a classy thing that everybody's kind of rallying around this guy. Here's somebody that we thought had to retire back in 2016, and it turned out that he didn't. You know, he was able to get a couple more years out of it. Really happy for him. And even though Darby Allin is a nut and, you know, he provided the shock value for that match, it was cool to see Sting do one more. And it was cool to see his sons out there dressed like the different versions of him.
That was cool. That was very cool.
It was like for the old school fans, or at least for me as an old school fan, I always liked the blonde surface thing the best. Basically, the tall, dark guy.
Surface thing was my favorite.
Yeah. So, and I never really cared for the Crow Sting, although that is kind of like, if you look at it, it's funny because like people kind of divide his career in half. But really, you're talking about 7 or 8 years as a surfer and 30 years as the crow.
Yeah, 30 years as the crow, yeah.
6 months as the Joker in TNA, which was another really good one version of him, but even that was a bad ripoff of a movie. Matt, are you here now?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
We can hear you now.
Wonderful. Yeah. I'm thrilled.
You sound over the moon, excited.
Because, Brady, had lined up that thing about greasing the poles, and that got me ready with a joke from my first bachelor party. And, it's over.
Oh, God.
Ruined. My night is shot.
I was greasing the toilets that night, Matt.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were. It was a night to remember.
Or forget, depending on how good you were.
True.
I remember it theoretically involved some bowling. That's about all I remember. So.
Yeah. I'm not going to say anymore because I don't know how much you want to get out in public. So I'll leave it at that.
Got to make sure the statute of limitations runs out on certain things before you admit to them.
I mean, it's only been 13 years, but yeah.
Has it been that long? Wow.
It has, yeah.
That's hard to believe. You know, mine's coming up on 2 years this summer, and I can't believe it. It's cray-cray, as the kids say.
Yeah, it's nuts.
It is. It is nuts. But you know what's nuts is that bump that Darby Allin took off the ladder crazy. Backwards. Through real glass.
Yeah, like a swanton coffin drop through glass.
Nobody was even there, you know?
Nothing stopping him.
You know, the
glass didn't slow him down that much from impacting the floor. Like,
I'm amazed he didn't cut himself up much worse
or die.
Even if it is stunt glass, I've seen some pretty nasty stuff in CZW. That was right up there.
Oh yeah,
right up there. That was a cage of death kind of stuff, Kevin.
Yeah. I know about the cage of death.
Well, yeah. But I'm thinking that had to have been a wet dream for Luke Perry Jr. I'm thinking it had to have been. Can you imagine? What do you think CM Punk was probably like? Thank God I'm not there.
Yeah. Brady, I have to tell you, Brian was out in Vegas for the Super Bowl, of course. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the WWE guys were there.
Mm-hmm.
So we got his picture taken with Seth Rollins.
Nice.
And he's like, he goes, he can't wait for, WrestleMania 40. I was like, he goes, by the way, he told me to tell you Tyler Black said hi. I said, okay. And he goes, who's Tyler Black? I said, Seth Rollins. He goes, huh?
Yeah.
I'm like, poor Brian. He has no idea about anything about wrestling, just football.
I think I'm surprised the NFL hasn't changed, taken to changing people's names when they come in, you know? Because it would be a way to merchandise them just the same.
Yeah.
Really smart. Like the XFL, that's one thing that they had really smart. Like, you know, you could player could put whatever they wanted on the back of their jersey. You know, you could have he hate me. You know?
Oof. God, what a throwback that is.
He hate me? Yeah. Yeah. Imagine that one guy pretending his name was Tommy Maddox, you know? No. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, like I said, call VOC.com. Have you guys all had the chance to see this Sting match?
Not all of it, no.
Yeah, not all of it. I saw most of the after the cameras were off and Sting was addressing the crowd. I caught it on YouTube last night.
Okay, yeah. See, I didn't catch after the cameras went off. The last thing he said was, I'm being told that we're short on time. And then it, shut off. So. But it was cool. And like I said, I was never a huge Sting fan. I mean, I like the blonde surfer guy. And I would make fun of, when he was the Joker in TNA. But that's about it. I never really cared for the Crow. Yeah. But by all accounts, he's a great guy. I never met him.
Now, does he stay retired? Was this it, or is this a Terry Funk, Ric Flair, unretired retirement?
I'm thinking he's going to be like a manager or something. I'm sure they'll keep him around.
I don't think he'll wrestle again. I actually think this one might stick, but...
Okay.
He seems pretty authentic with it. You know, and involving his kids and stuff like that. And also, here's the other thing that was really telling for me. Like, if he thought that his career had, like, more leg, you know, if he thought that, like, hey, like, I could take this for a couple more years, I think he would have been good enough to do a singles match against, like, a featured performer, as opposed to being buried in a tag team match where Darby Allin's doing most of the big spots. So that, to me, kind of tells me that he probably is done. But maybe I'm reading too much into it. I don't know.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I think you're on the right track, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I get good instincts, Kathy, you know?
For the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So, yeah, so that was Sting. All in all, I thought it was a really good pay-per-view. I don't know how much you guys watched of it, but I was really disappointed that Swerve Strickland didn't win the heavyweight title. I feel like he has come such a long way in the last 6 months to the point where, like, when I see him come out, I'm afraid. And he's just, like, on the TV. I just think he does a really good job of, like, portraying this legitimate badass. And I think it's really cool. And, like, I've become a huge fan.
Yeah, I like Swerve a lot.
Aside from drinking the blood.
Yeah, well, that was Hangman, too. So.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't just him, but.
No. Well, if Hangman jumped off a bridge, would you?
I don't think so, but.
Maybe if he's got his lasso around your neck, but that's about it. Yeah. I don't know. He's just got so much. Like, when he came in with Keith Lee, I kind of felt like Keith Lee was the star and he was just going to kind of be his lackey. And since they split them up, Swerve has gone in one direction and Keith Lee has just disappeared.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that. But should they have pulled the trigger last night? Or, I mean, on Sunday night? Yeah, I think they probably should have. I think Swerve should have won. Samoa Joe doesn't seem like the kind of guy that you would keep as a champion for a long time.
Not at this point in his career.
Right. Like, I was kind of surprised that he won it. Swerve just, like, seemed natural to me. And, like, you don't see a whole lot of, like, AEW kind of giving you, like, WWE, they'll give you rematch after rematch after rematch, and then eventually somebody wins the title. In AEW, they kind of just, like, move on to the next program after the show.
Yeah, it does tend to be the end of feuds when somebody, you know, decisively loses.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so I don't know. Again, guys, call VOC.com if you want to call in. I heard Rat Boy's going to be doing bed checks between 8 and 8:15 tonight. It was nice of him to give us a heads up about that so we could program accordingly. Yeah. Did any of you guys give thought as to, like, rebooking? Like we talked about, you know, kind of changing somebody's career trajectory?
I did, and I went on the more ridiculous side than.
Oh, good. Maybe it'll inspire me. Because that was more than a hard assignment. Like, as I was thinking about it, like, I don't know what I'm going to say now.
And it's purely for kind of comedic relief, you know, in its nature, because I thought, you know, how can I take them and just completely take them the other way, and then it all comes to an end. So there's like a build up, and then it doesn't last until like SummerSlam. It's very short okay. program. Okay. What, you ready?
Sure. Dive in.
So they debut at this WrestleMania. They come out, and I'll tell you who it is after I tell you the whole layout. Okay. They debut at WrestleMania, yeah. Short black hair, biker gimmicks, tattoos all over, riding motorcycles to the ring. The tattoos you can clearly see are temporary because they're coming off during the match, but they're just they just seem to be winning and literally running through the entire tag team division. They just can't and of course they're bad guys, so they can't win because they keep getting disqualified when they have a championship match or what have you. And then at SummerSlam, they open up a challenge to any of the baddest tag teams that are on the planet. You know, we have an open challenge. And that brings back the old APA, Bradshaw and Simmons. And Bradshaw and Simmons are now going to take down – and I didn't have a name for them, but this biker – tag team that's just been running roughshod over the WWE for 4 or 5 months, and they used to be called Pretty Deadly. and the APA just obliterates them at SummerSlam.
Yeah. Wow. See, I like Pretty Deadly, but that's
they do, but they're not tough guys. So if you try to portray them to be tough guys, I mean, like,
and it works because, like, you're right. First of all, they're not tough guys. Second of all, that opens the door for, like, kind of like what Fandango and, like, Tyler Breeze used to do, you know, where they started, like, playing different gimmicks every week to get over. And then eventually they kind of settled on, like, they're, like, policemen or whatever.
Right, right. Like the knockoff village people or whatever
fashion,
they are.
Yeah, the fashion police or whatever they're calling. Yeah.
It was pretty good. The fashion police, yes, yeah. So I like that because that does kind of open the door for other kind of nonsense.
And I think they could pull that off. I think they have the character about them to be able to pull that off in a very short program.
Yeah. Would you like disguise who they are, like, or would it be pretty obvious that it's
no? It would be pretty obvious.
Okay, I didn't know if they're getting like leather masks or wearing like helmets or something, you know?
Yeah, and I just kind of threw that together. Where like right after you assigned it, I kind of went over like for about a week, and I'm like, yeah, that would work with them.
I like that, and honestly, they're not really doing a whole lot with those guys, which is a shame because they have a great gimmick.
They do. Yes.
Yeah. Like most people, like they get featured in ECW and then they come up and they get lost. I really thought it would be different with Triple H in charge, Matt, but it doesn't seem to be. It's like it's still you lose your traction, you know.
It's a shame.
It is. It is a shame. You would think that there'd be better communication between, like, Raw and SmackDown. Obviously, those writers are communicating. It's probably the same team, but by and large. But, you know, you would think that there'd be better communication with that. If they're going to bring somebody up, first of all, that they'd have a plan. Second of all, that, like, yeah, we're not going to just let them flounder because there's so many people on the main roster.
Right. Yeah. And that just it just never seems to be the case. A lot of the NXT call-ups just never go anywhere.
Yeah. It's a shame. That's why I fear for, like, Braun Breaker. Like, at least Carmelo Hayes, like, they were smart enough to kind of keep him on NXT a little bit longer after kind of, like, dabbling with him being there.
Right. Yeah. Right. But now it feels like he's not doing anything either. Well, they brought him up, and yeah.
You would think as the heel, he'd like be better spotlighted because they have Ilya, they have Trick, obviously. I don't know. Like, I feel like most of their stars are babyfaces on NXT.
Yeah, I've kind of always gotten the feeling from NXT that they preferred to lean on babyfaces, but
yeah, well, they want to see how over somebody can get, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. What if, here's one. What if, and it's another comedy one, Howard, although I shouldn't have to tell you that. If I have to tell you it's comedy, it's
probably all right.
Not if setting a good precedent.
Yeah, right. If I have to explain the joke, it's not funny.
So, Cavi, you know Bron Breakker, right? He has like a real he has a real affinity for Goldberg. It wasn't like Goldberg like his favorite or whatever.
No, I think his dad and his uncle were.
Okay, I thought for some reason he was a huge Goldberg fan.
I mean, he
but for my idea, it'll involve a little bit of selling out. So my idea is he starts shaving his head and calling himself Goldberg Jr. And he'll go out of his way.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he'll just go out of his way to pick fights with people that he knows he can beat. And then he can even like mock it. I'm trying to think, like, who's a smaller guy on the SmackDown roster, you know? Like, if he were on Raw, they could have the Shush guy put him in, like, a side headlock backstage that he can't get out of. And you could do, like, comedy stuff like that with him, right? And then you have him destroy him when he gets in the ring with him. And then, like, ultimately, this would lure his dad to the company, even though I know he's technically a no-no because of what he said at that convention that time, but I think they could work it in. I think they could work it in. You could even work in his uncle. But everybody,
that ain't gonna happen.
Everybody gets pissed at him. Well, they wouldn't give Scott a mic, but, well, you know, he did his Hall of Fame speech, okay?
Yeah, but
he hasn't talked about killing anybody getting inducted recently.
He was only good because it was his nephew.
Yeah. And because Hulk Hogan wasn't there, because he's going to kill him if he sees him.
Well, that too.
So anyway, you know, the Steiners come out. They're trying to talk sense into him. And you could even have a one-off appearance by Goldberg one time, you know, where now you're doing Goldberg and Goldberg Jr. against the Steiners. There's a lot of different ways. This has legs, I'm telling you. Vince McMahon would be very proud of that plan. You could even have him like destroy Goldberg, just to be funny.
This is true.
It is true. Let's go to the phones. We're gonna bring on Rat Boy. I guess it's time for the
Brady. I thought you said you had good instincts earlier.
I do.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What's going on, Rat Boy?
Not much, man. How about Paul Heyman, man?
Yeah. Did you call him Paul Heyman?
Call him Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman?
Paul Heyman.
Yeah, it's exciting. I kind of figured it would have an ECW slant. Like, for whatever reason, WWE looks at Philadelphia and they think all that we are is like cheesesteaks and fat people and ECW.
And ECW, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we are those things. It's just that there's more to it than that.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there's the Eagles, too. That's not just fat people and cheesesteaks.
Hang on for a minute. Hang on for a minute.
Hang on. You called me.
Yeah.
What?
You got her.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good.
Good, 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 good.
But she can't see you. But
you
can
see
her.
Party?
Yeah, man. We got some joints here. We got some beer. We got everything.
You crazy person.
All right, cool. So I can see her, but she can't see me.
Right. She's
blind.
She's blind.
Oh.
But she knows.
Catching you, Rat Boy.
But she knows Heifer or Rushhorn, though.
Okay. She knows half of her wrestling?
Hang on. Who do you know?
Hogan.
Hogan. Who else?
Hogan.
Hogan.
You already have good instincts. See that?
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So she knows half of wrestlers, you said?
Huh?
I learned a lot of wrestling from talking to Rat.
I was gonna say, I'm assuming it's what you heard.
Yeah.
Maybe felt. I'm not saying yes or no about that.
Tell him how good I am in this quiz.
Popularity wise?
Yeah.
Very.
Very what? Yeah. Popular?
Yeah, he's popular. Everyone knows him.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody knows, like, help me out here, Matt. Just because everybody knows you doesn't mean you're popular.
No, like, everybody knows who Hitler is.
Right, yeah.
That's an extreme example. I mean,
you know? If I saw Jason
when I walk around, all I can hear is, my gone.
Right.
We're too popular in this place. We got to move out.
It's like if he emerged from the mud, he'd be Mudman, and everyone would know who he is. But doesn't mean they all like him or they want to give him a hug.
Okay, I got some good news to tell everybody.
Okay.
Next month, I'll be on the road.
That is good news.
Yes, I'll be on the road. I'll be going to Virginia, from Virginia down to Florida.
Okay.
On the road. Because my cousin is getting her trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to Virginia, load up the truck, then we're on the road with a U-Haul truck all the way down to Florida.
You're moving?
No, she's putting her stuff inside the in storage or something, or the toilet that he gets.
I got you. You're right, Howard. I thought this was gonna go so much better. You gotta amuse me. You gotta throw a little sizzle on that snake.
You got my friend here laughing.
Yeah, well.
Here's a little sizzle. Getting him on was a mistake. So, how's that?
He is the well done of mistakes. I like well done steaks.
And I make sure this time around.
Yeah.
I make sure this time around I go to Hulk Hogan Beach House.
Didn't you last time?
And do some karaoke.
Didn't you do that last time?
Yeah, but, you know, I forgot to take my phone with me.
Didn't you do that the time before that when you went?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't you do NXT like that stalker guy that was wiping poop on the door?
Oh, yeah, they know him down there, too. They got his picture up everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Rat Boy and Scott Steiner aren't allowed in the building.
Right.
And the poop guy's allowed in again. They've forgiven him. But, no.
And they'd almost let Scott Steiner in, but Ratboy's never getting in.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna put a prediction out there.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. The next Hall of Fame award going to... You ready?
Are you gonna put your career on the line
boy.
Here? If it's not right,
yes, I'm gonna put my career on the line.
Wait, does that mean he won't be back if this doesn't happen?
If this doesn't happen, he doesn't come back.
I mean, I'm not paying him, but
he's banned from VOC. Is that what we're saying?
Right. Is that what
he's
you're saying? If it's not right, okay.
I know I'm right.
Okay.
That's confidence, but they you got to be willing to follow through if it goes the other way.
Yeah.
Sign the contract.
If it goes the other way, you know, but I sure do Thursday night for Howard there, you know.
Who's the next person?
The next person is no other than the tag team, the Devolution.
Wow, we've seen the end of Rat Boy.
That's it, it's over. The storied career is over.
Actually, the next one is supposedly going to be Ming or Haku, whatever you want to call him.
Nice.
Ming or Haku and Demolition, too.
So, Ming will go into the Hall of Fame just in time for Tama Tonga to show up during the main event of WrestleMania and cost Cody Rhodes a victory when he joins the Bloodline.
Yep. He'll even induct his dad in.
Oh,
so that we get please, an introduction.
Please, if like, please God, like I don't ask for much. And I know that this is petty in the grand scheme of things, but just have Tama Tonga cost Cody Rhodes that match.
I'm pretty sure Cody's going to get the belt.
Yeah, Lord, let's not end world hunger and poverty. Let's have
make sure Cody Rhodes doesn't win that match.
If I could have one thing in this world, stop Cody Rhodes.
By the way,
you know what?
So I'm with you, Matt. I'm on the anti Cody bandwagon.
And you hate the Reign of Terror, so
I do. That shows you how much more I hate Cody Rhodes at the moment.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's annoying. I can't stand the idea that like we got to see Cody Rhodes twice at WrestleMania now because he has to earn the right to face Roman without anyone interfering. And obviously, Cody and Seth are going to lose that match because The Rock's going to interfere.
Yeah.
It's like the one of the most choreographed things they've ever done. It annoys me.
Yep.
And there should be another person that should go in the Hall of Fame, but not this year, maybe next year.
Mm-hmm.
But he deserves it, okay? Brady, you know who I mean. Howard, you know who I mean. Kathy knows who I mean. Matt knows who I mean. No other than this shrub. He should go in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, I like him as a person. He didn't have enough of a sustained run in WCW, I'm afraid. They're reluctant to put WCW guys in anyway. I wish it were going to happen, and it would be huge for VOC Nation because everybody would be Googling Maestro to see what he's up to. But
yep.
I don't see it happening.
Okay, and
what I could see is like, for example, Ernest Miller works for the company, right?
Mm-hmm.
He works for NXT. He's a trainer, I believe. Or am I wrong about that? I think he is.
No, I think you're right.
Or he's somehow affiliated with the company. So if they put him in, I could see Maestro inducting him. Because that was like the major feud for both of them. I could see that.
And another one, okay? I'm not sure if he's listed, you know, right here in the Philadelphia, the great Philadelphia area, no other than Bill Wagner.
Yeah, that'd be good. I'd love to see Bill get in.
Me too.
Yeah.
Maybe it might happen this year. You never know.
I don't know that he's done enough for WWE. Yeah. I mean, I would like it. Like I said, he's a great guy. He's been really good to me. He's been really good to VOC Nation. But I don't know that WWE really acknowledges the impact that he's had. You know?
Mm-hmm. You never know. I'm afraid.
Yeah. I could see him being like one of those you know how they do like the rapid fire ones where like they'll induct like 10 honorable mentions.
Yeah.
And just fire. I could see him being one of them.
Yeah.
I just don't see them giving him an open mic to sing karaoke for 3 to 5 minutes. Yeah. But I could be wrong. I mean, they've used him in the past on documentaries and things like that, you know? He was on that, what's that, that stupid Treasure show with the guy that's in TNA now.
Or Lost Treasures or whatever that is.
Lost Treasures, Most Wanted Treasures.
Yeah, but whatever, something treasure hunter thing.
Basically, WWE wants to make money with a physical Hall of Fame, so they're going and outbidding people for property that isn't really theirs to begin with.
And then guilting yeah. people into giving it up and letting it go on tour and everything else.
For next to nothing, because other people should enjoy it. Okay, well, where are we enjoying it except on that TV show? Because that was a good 4 years ago, and where have they put this stuff available for me to see it?
Right.
Bill Apter gives up his whole collection. What, to go sit in the warehouse as opposed to his basement?
Right, and for how much money?
Right.
Yeah, well, he gave it away for free. Probably because he thought he'd get into the Hall of Fame if he did it.
I got nothing. That is the most horrific.
I'm going to say majority of the Hall of Fame this year.
The majority?
We all ain't going to be nothing but Philadelphia people. Watch and see.
No, probably. I mean, okay, so my guess is early on, and I could still see it happening, Paul Heyman, Tommy Dreamer, because they have a great relationship with TNA now. The Dudleys aren't in, are they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Okay, I apologize. Paul Heyman, Tommy Dreamer. That would pretty much be it for ECW, I would think. I think
Arn Anderson.
No.
Hold on, quiet. I'm talking.
I'm talking over here.
Yeah! I'm sorry. I'm going to do that every time he talks to everybody. No, I think RVD would have gone in, but now I'm hearing because he worked with TNA, they cancel all his stuff for that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think RVD would have gone in. Because they think that Paul Heyman, that basically, like, if you were to ask a WWE person what was ECW, they would probably only be able to tell you Paul Heyman, Tommy Dreamer, and Rob Van Dam. Maybe Sabu.
And the Dudleys.
And maybe Taz. Maybe.
Oh, man.
And that's about it.
Because he's with AEW now.
Right. After them, you're going to start talking about the Big Show and Christian and Jack Swagger.
Yeah.
Brady. One person. Okay? The Blue Meanie. Who should go in?
I like Brian, but I don't see him as a Hall of Famer. If there were any, like, he's in the ECW Hall or the Arena Hall of Fame, isn't he?
I'm not sure if he is.
Yes, he is. He's on the wall.
I think he is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Steven Richards?
Now you're just naming names. Like,
right.
Okay. The people that would legitimately be, politics aside, the people from ECW that would legitimately be in the Hall of Fame, Paul Heyman, Rob Van Dam, Tommy Dreamer, Shane Douglas, Taz,
Raven.
The Dudleys, maybe Raven. Yeah, maybe Raven. And probably Sabu.
Sandman?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you're starting to scrape the barrel a little at that point, but I like Sandman. I thought he was great, but, you know, if you're talking about Hall of Fame for the wrestling industry, not just ECW, I think that's about it.
Okay.
You know. Todd Gordon, maybe?
No.
Yeah, he deserves it.
Well, I said politics aside.
No.
Still a note from Kathy.
I'd put him in there.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
And I thought Bray Wyatt was going to be the first one to deduct it, but no, it was Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
Maybe they might do that Friday night. Put Bray Wyatt in.
I can see Bray Wyatt going in. What's that, Kelly?
Everything is Friday night.
Yeah, and I've got tickets. Kelly got them for my birthday.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Yeah. I didn't want to wait around and see if I wouldn't be able to get them, you know. Because that's what that's the dirty little thing with like wrestling journalism that a lot of people don't realize. Like, yeah, a lot of times you can get the tickets from WWE. But there's two things with that. First of all, my main contact for WWE left to go to AEW. Second of all, even when I had my main contact there, you're always assuming the risk that the show does really well at the ticket booth and they won't have a lot of comps to spare.
Yep.
So you have to wait. You have to wait literally. Like, I was never allowed to request a ticket until within a week of the show. Yep. Well, within the week of the show, if it's doing well, it's going to sell out. And then it's too late to buy a ticket. So it's always like this general, like, kind of push-pull, Kathy, you know, where, like, do I, if I really want to go, do I just spend the money and go? For me, it's a write-off because I can write about it.
You can feel it on your soul.
All right, I'll talk to you later, Rappler. We'll bring you back on. Yeah, so it's always a difficult thing. Like, you got to weigh, like, do I want to spend the money versus, like that year, Kathy, that we went to the Royal Rumble and we were having out with, like, Xavier Woods and everything?
Yeah.
I didn't get to go to the Royal Rumble that year because, like, I took a chance and waited. I put in for four shows. I put in for NXT. I guess it was NXT Saturday, Royal Rumble Sunday, Raw Monday, and at the time SmackDown was Tuesday. And I only got the NXT show because the others sold out. You only got the SmackDown show, correct? Or no, you went to NXT as well.
No, I went to Raw and SmackDown.
Raw and SmackDown, okay. Yeah, I missed out on the three shows. Well, actually, the two shows because Kathy took me to SmackDown. But...
but yeah. There is no comps for WrestleMania this year. Not
I know. None. Not even like a media section.
Well, as far as I know, and they and Booker even said that if you go to the show, I said, well, like, you know, the families can get in early. No, they have to come in with the fans.
Wow.
Now I did hear they
not even backstage?
No.
I'm surprised to hear that. Oh,
I
guess it depends on what family is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I did hear that there a friend of mine was looking into getting a box at Lincoln Financial.
Yeah.
You know how much they were charging for a box?
Well, I knew how much they were charging for a ticket, so I could take a guess.
Go ahead.
$2,000 a seat.
Well, for the box was $15,000.
And how many seats are in a box? About 12. 10?
10 or 12.
12. Okay.
But unless they did tell him that now they're thinking about supposedly some of the family people will be sitting in the boxes.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, that's those prices are ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking Philadelphia probably is slightly smaller than a lot of the venues that they've had recently. Even though it is like a massive stadium, it's I've been in like the underbelly of Lincoln Financial Field. It's not that big. I think it's smaller than like the underbelly of like Cowboys Stadium years ago when I was in their old one.
Yeah.
So I don't think and as big as the roster is and everything, I could kind of see that, I guess. What's interesting is like, I guess it was almost 10 years ago when the last time they did New York, they had like an entire media area. They had like power outlets and like desks so like the media could like charge their laptops and write. And I was supposed to do this. I actually had to bail out last minute. And they had superstars. Well, they say superstars. They had like the great Khali and Titus O'Neil stop by.
Oh, you don't get any bigger than that.
Well, literally.
Right.
Yeah. But what's he going to tell you? He barely speaks English.
Yeah,
Titus
O'Neil or the great
Khali? Oh, the great Khali. Titus O'Neil is very well spoken. Yeah, but anyway, I had to bail out of it because it was up in New York, and I was just like, yeah, I'm not getting caught with all this traffic on a work night. So,
well, everything
turned down a dream.
Everything that's going to be in Philly, let me tell you, it's the WrestleCon is like $20 a person to get in.
That's not bad, but you can't do anything except get in.
Exactly. And then each person's a different price.
Sure. And they get mad now if you take pictures. So.
Yeah. And then the WWE, whatever it's called.
It's not Access anymore. They're going to do it at the convention center, right?
Yeah. And those tickets go from $30 to $300 a ticket.
Wow. See, I could probably put in for media for that. Because that was like when I was running around doing all those interviews at Access was like...
Yeah.
Through the media. I just have to find out who the contact is because it's not the guy that it used to be. But I'm sure I can put in a request for that.
Because I just put my request in for Friday night for AEW.
Oh, okay.
It's Ring of Honor at Lee of Course.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But everybody's going, oh, well, don't forget, you know, WWE. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I'll be hanging out with Booker and Charmel Wednesday, Thursday. I guess Friday. I don't know.
So you're going to miss the Hall of Fame.
I'm not sure about that right now.
Yeah. Lee of Course might be done in time to go, but I know it's a joint ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to SmackDown and I'm going to both nights of WrestleMania.
Yeah. It's going to be crazy.
I might put in a media request for NXT or Raw just to see. I expect Raw will sell out and I probably could get NXT. Because that'll be in probably the Wachovia, I'm guessing, or Wells Fargo, whatever they call it today.
Yeah, well, I got the thing for NXT and probably Raw.
Yeah.
I haven't decided what I'm going to do for SmackDown or whatever.
Well, I guess we'll see. Yeah. It's going to be a lot, though. Definitely going to be a lot. I'm excited. But I do miss the old days where you could just like put in for tickets and then just kind of go when you wanted.
Yeah, because now they have to email you your tickets over your phone.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to like... Will Call was great because it was like the same group of people every single time in the comps line. Like...
Yeah,
my wife actually got to know Mike Johnson because like we were always in line, either in front of him or behind him every show.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I miss them, but WrestleMania should be fun. It'll be the first time in a really long time that I'm probably approaching it more like a fan than anything. The last couple of years, I've either been running PWI's Twitter. Or, like, you know, going to shows with the purpose of, like, trying to get an interview. Or at least going to shows with a free ticket from PWI. And it's like, you know, this is the first time in a long time where I'm just going. And I'm going to just soak it all in, you know. And I'll probably be sitting in the upper bows with, like, everybody else from the local independent wrestling scene. You know?
Yeah, basically we're all going to be there anyhow.
That's what it's going to be. And actually there are going to be some really nice like independent shows that week too. Like I might skip NXT. I know for example, Kevin McElvaney, longtime host on the show with me, kind of when I was starting out, went on to become the managing editor. He runs Pro Wrestling Illustrated now, Kevin. And, you know, we've been friends for a long time and everything. His wife passed away of cancer earlier, like right around the, probably like November. I don't remember offhand. I think it was around when I was moving. So I think it was like November. And he's going to be running a tribute show. And then I know like Jimmy Chando, he's going to be running a tribute show because his grandmother died.
And, you know, there are other independent shows that are going to be running in the area. You know?
Well, that's mid-April, though. That's after WrestleMania.
Oh, I thought it was WrestleMania time.
Huh?
I thought they were all WrestleMania weekend.
No.
I think Kevin's is.
Well, Michael from High Spots is running WrestleCon.
Yeah.
Okay. And his wife also passed too.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, our guest seems to be late. Let's bring on the next best thing to our guest, Howard. What's going on, Tora?
What's going on?
How you doing?
Doing great. Hi, Kathy. Look at you.
Look at you. Hey, cutie.
Yeah. Hey, cutie. You funny.
Yeah. Hey, you're funny.
How's everybody?
We're doing good. I'm really happy that you're here, Tora.
Yeah, me too. I'm sorry I wasn't here last week on Tuesday. I was rammed out, worn out from a lot of stuff. And then, yeah, of course, you know I had.
Go ahead, Tora. Our guest is having trouble getting in.
Oh shit! And then
it's all right.
Yeah.
It'll be okay. I'm surprised I'm not seeing him on the thing. He said he's in the queue.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try and send him. Go ahead, Tora, talk. I'm setting this up.
Even though I had to celebrate my birthday last week, and I had a good time until at the last minute my former coworker had a seizure at my party Saturday night.
Okay.
She forgot to take her medicine.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, like, how did you forget to take your medicine?
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Tora, I'm going to put you on hold because our guest is here. I don't want to keep him waiting. We'll come back to you, Tora. Joining us on the line right now, one of the performers from the ECWA Super 8 tournament. He's a great guy, an alum of ECWA from the Jim Kettner era, and I'm really excited to have him on the air with us right now. Travis Blake, how you doing, man? Can you hear me?
Hello. Hey there. How are
hey,
you?
Hey, how you doing? Wow, it's been a long time, man.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can. You sound great. Yeah. What's going on? You must be pretty excited to be coming back to ECWA.
I was hanging out here for a while, guys, talking.
It's the weirdest thing. You did not show up on my
screen. I am. I'm very excited.
Okay. I think we got a lag here. There you go. And that's Mike Blake, of course. He's going to be part of the ECWA Super 8 tournament. Even right down to, like, not knowing that he's going by Mike Blake, not Travis Blake, Kathy. All the flyers and everything say Travis. I don't know if he knows
that. I know.
Yeah, I had no idea. But, my God. You know, if we give it too much time, Mike Tartaglia is going to call in to ambush him on the air. So...
No, Mike's thinking with his juicy company.
Yeah. Yeah, and his relaunching TWA Reloaded or whatever that's been coming back for, what, six months, a year? More than a year. Wasn't it? First it was Boss Champ. I'm going off on a tangent here, and I shouldn't because I do like Mike. Sometimes when guys are like a little like upset about what Mike did, I do feel torn because like, he gave me a lot of opportunity, and like, I thought his shows were very good, even if they didn't draw well all the time. But with that said, I think it was his business practices that chased so many people away, and I've told him that to his face.
Oh, that's basically why I left the first time.
Yeah, yeah. Like Matt, this is the guy, and I love Mike again, but I think we can all laugh about that. I laugh about it with him on chat all the time. He throws a free ECWA show, Matt, after he buys it. He tells fans, come up. It's a free show. Mm-hmm. Fan appreciation night.
Okay. It's a heck of an appreciation.
Oh, yeah. Gets in the ring, grabs a microphone, and says, why the hell do you people not come unless it's free?
Well, that's probably not what you should do in that situation. Yeah. When you've packed a bunch of people into the free show, maybe you want to give them a product that's good enough for them to want to come again and pay money for it.
Sure. Sure.
Or like, I don't know what to do about with that one.
Or like the Deonna Purrazzo thing, Kathy. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He had an issue with her. So he fired her on a night when she couldn't be there. He fired her in the ring.
Yeah.
Over the feed. Which, like, that's bad enough, right? Like, she was a really good wrestler. She was up and coming at the time, but we all kind of knew she'd end up in WWE or wherever else. And, you know, and we've seen it. She went from WWE, NXT, to TNA, to AEW. And I'm guessing, unless something happens, she probably will end up back on the main roster in WWE someday, just because, or at least she'll be a featured performer in AEW like she is right now. Yeah, he fired her, Matt. And like, that's bad enough by itself, but she was part of this New York crew that made up about half of the roster. So like, when he fired her in the ring,
what could go wrong?
He let 12 people go.
Yep.
I mean, because it's not like he fired them, but they're not going to come after what he did to her.
No, like, God, you screw over your friends? Like, yeah. No.
But with that said, I love Mike Tartaglia. He was always good to me. It's like, you know. I'm sure Hitler's barber thought he was a great guy. That's a bad comparison. That's a terrible comparison. Because, like I said, I really do like Mike Tartaglia. I do. But he has a lot of enemies in wrestling, and most of that was self-inflicted.
Well, remember when he had the...
We could do a whole show just on this stuff, Kathy. It'd be amazing. Well,
he had the that match between Corey Castle and... Was it Matt Breaker? And it was a bloodbath. And they actually, and the person that they had as a medic had no clue what to do.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason I came back, because I said, if someone gets bit, hurt in that ring, Mike, you're an idiot. And that's the only reason I came back, was to help anybody that got hurt.
You're talking about the barbed wire thing?
Oh, yeah. Remember that one?
Yeah. Oh, I remember, because I don't like that kind of stuff.
I mean, and the woman that was quote unquote the medic just stood there like and called 911.
Right.
I'm like, gauze pads, get, you know. But no, she just stood there like and she's using paper towels.
Oh, God.
Was she out of magic eraser?
Oh, my God. She had paper towels she was using. And I just stood there and I said, you pissed me off, but I'm back, because I don't want to see these guys get hurt.
You do remember, Kathy, that was when I took a picture of you in the corner and put you on the ECWA website as the medic, Dr. Kathy.
Yeah, I know, you little jackass.
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't funny to a lot of the Jim Kettner people at the time, but, like, you know, Mike Tartaglia came in, and he legitimately, like, he would slight, like, so Mike Blake's, like, his story isn't unique, because, like, there were a lot of people that were promised stuff that, like, when Mike took over, he just said, you know what? No, I'm not doing this, because I have my own vision for it. So he told Jim Kettner what Jim wanted to hear, and then went and did what he wanted. There were even, like, and I'm not going to go into the list of people, but they know who they are. There was a list of people that Jim Kettner didn't ever want in ECWA, and he gave them this list and said, you know, if you buy this, I'm going to ask you, please never bring these people in. Specific wrestlers. And I believe out of the three or four of them that were there on that list, he brought in at least three of them. Just didn't care. You know, he had his own vision and didn't care. And a lot of ways, like, normally I think that makes you a successful businessman because, like, you're not worried about what other people think. You're worried about what you think is going to be best for the company. But on the other, he made a lot of enemies. A lot of enemies. And he wasn't that successful because of the amount of enemies that he made. Have I raked him over the coals enough, Kathy? I feel like I'm trying to be fair to him. At the same time, these are complaints that people have, including Mike Blake, who, by the way, it is confirmed we're going to have him on in 2 weeks' time. So that'll be March 19th for the go-home show before the Super 8. Next week, we're actually going to have Greg Spitz on, so I'm excited about that. And hopefully Mike Blake upgrades his internet between now and then. Cool. So why don't we take a real quick commercial break? Let me remind you guys, for the number to call in, just go to the website callvoc.com. I recommend doing that from the incognito browser on your phone, your tablet, or your computer. And yeah, we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Total Package, Lex Luger. You're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
VOC Nation's own Stro Maestro suffered a major medical and financial catastrophe this year. From the VOC Nation family, to all of you, please continue to pray for Stro Maestro for his continued recovery. You can also donate to his cause, paypal.me/PapaStro. The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Kathy Fitz, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then we got pregnant.
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into, like, snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Yo, this is Jerry Stagg of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You getting ready to get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby.
VOC Nation is one of the longest-running wrestling podcast networks. Having started way back in 2010, VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include former backstage interviewer from both AWA and WWE, Ken Resnick, former WCW performer The Maestro, former Impact performer Wes Crisco, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Works. Archive-free content includes past interviews with huge names like Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, Kurt Angle, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Sting, Mick Foley, Joey Styles, Howard Finkel, and so many more. Listen live at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all the podcasts by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. And be sure to follow these guys on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Phil Apter has been in the pro wrestling business for over 50 years.
Hey, Tony here with Arn Anderson. Arn, first of all, your height and weight.
6'1", 255.
And now subscribers to VOC Nation Premium get exclusive access to Bill Apter's archived audio footage.
And where's your hometown?
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay, and give us something about your back. First of all, your relationship to Ole Anderson.
Ole is my...
Subscription to VOC Nation Premium starts at just $3 a month and includes commercial-free audio and video versions of our top podcasts.
Okay, we're speaking here with the manager of the World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, Tarzan Tyler and Luke Graham, and he's sort of glowing tonight about a new prospect we haven't heard of yet.
And for just $9 a month, Apter's archives are all yours.
Would you tell us who this new prospect
is? Well, I'll tell you, Bill, I've searched the world, and I finally found a true world champion. I finally found...
What's your opinion of Ivan Koloff?
winning the title from Bruno Sammartino?
Well, I think, I don't know what to say, but I want to say one thing. Bruno was a hell of a champion. You know?
Hear exclusive interviews with the greatest performers of all time.
This is Bill Apter, and once again, we're speaking here with Bruno Sammartino. Bruno, first of all, how did you and Bruiser lose that title to the Valiants?
Well, actually, it was a very unusual loss, if you want to call it a loss.
Did Brennan have anything to do?
Well, yes, but the whole thing is this, that the rules, as I always understood them, was that the title could only be lost by pin or submission, which is the same rules as my title, the World Wrestling Federation. That night, it was...
To sign up, it's very simple. Head to premium.vocnation.com or go to patreon.com/vocnation. VOC Nation takes you behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. Talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out, vocnation.com, WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
This is Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the VOC Nation.
Sometimes the world looks perfect. Nothing to rearrange. Sometimes you just get a feeling like you need some kind.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. It's In the Room on the VOC Nation Wrestling Network. And I have a treat for you guys. It's going to be so much better this time around. I can feel it already. Joining us right now, ECWA veteran and a member of the 2024 Super 8 class, March 23rd, Morganville, New Jersey. Joining us right now on the line, Mike Blake, formerly Travis Blake, for those who may be familiar. How you doing tonight, Mike?
Very good. How are you?
Oh, good. You sound so much better.
I'm glad we have connection.
Oh, me too. I felt horrible to end it like that. It just seemed like such a waste.
That's okay. You know? Hopefully I'm not keeping you up too late tonight.
Oh, no, we'll be fine. Don't worry about me. But it's so great to have you here. It's probably been 15 years since I've talked to you, maybe a little less. But somewhere around there, we kind of were jumping around with different stuff. But basically, my understanding is you were supposed to be part of the tournament years and years and years ago, and you're finally getting your chance to cash in. How are you feeling about that?
Excellent. For those that don't know, Jim Kettner pulled me aside in, am I getting the date correct, 2010, about the upcoming 2011 Super 8, like right after the 2010 one ended, pulled me aside and said, Mikey, I would really like it if you did next year's, which was really cool. I was super excited about it. And then obviously plans got derailed. But I don't know if you want to jump right into that or where you want to go. I was kind of having the flow of the interview go by your questions, and we talked already. So now I feel like we're really going to hodgepodge and jump around now.
No, I mean, well, we'll do our best to kind of stay on point with everything. But obviously, for a lot of these competitors, the Super 8 is a huge kind of checkbox thing for them, you know, in their career. It's something that they really kind of shot for. Was that the case for you, Super 8, ECWA, being a part of it?
When I originally got into wrestling, no. Just because I had a very self-defeated attitude. I had a lot of self-esteem issues, which I've kind of learned is everyone in wrestling, which is probably why we get into wrestling. Right. But I clearly know I'm not alone now. But I thought it was some unattainable goal. Like the Super 8 was the biggest thing, at least in the independent level at that time. And in a way still kind of is. And when I first started wrestling, no. When I first got to ECWA, yes, I completely flipped and, you know, stepped in an ECW ring and went, I can do this. This is why I'm here. I need to, you know, get my footing, get my bearings, climb that mountain and get in it.
How much has wrestling changed over the years since you kind of got into it?
It's a very subjective and very loaded question.
Sure.
I have always tried to just make sure that with wrestling, I was making money. I don't want to sound like an evil capitalist, but if you get into wrestling and you've been doing it for years, like when you just start out, it's different. If you've been doing it for years and you're still losing money, there's a problem. If your wrestling payday is less than your gas and tolls, there's a problem. Even if you do a show and you get less than your preferred amount, push merchandise, push something, like have something else that you can market while you're there at the show. Promote yourself, sell your merch. If you got a smaller payday but sold a bunch of t-shirts or 8x10s or sunglasses or stress balls, whatever you can put your name on, if you sold it, you did good. Like, sorry, jumping around, like at Right Coast Pro, I started making homemade candles when I had kids. I don't know why.
Nice. So
I sold candles that said smells like success and cinnamon. And I put my name on it and people would buy them. Like, you want to get to a level where you're at least making something. Because whatever your passion is, you know, if you're into music, if you become a big rock star or just teach kids private lessons, you're doing music for a living. Like, you made it. It doesn't matter that 30,000 people don't see you. If you can buy a house with that income, you made it. Same thing with wrestling. If, you know, you're making something and you're not going to a day job on Monday, if you're a sanitation worker, a guidance counselor, something else, you're not a wrestler. You're an accountant. But if you make enough where that's all you do is the wrestling, then you're a wrestler.
No, it's really smart. And a lot of people don't look at it that way. A lot of people just think, like, if they're able to just get in the ring, even if they're operating at a loss for the night or for even longer, you know, that it's okay. Just because.
No, then it's a hobby.
It is a hobby, sure.
If you, you know, whether you get signed to the big companies or you just do local shows and have a podcast, you're making money wrestling. You made it. You're good. So
yeah,
you were good, Brady Hicks.
Thank you. I mean, it's always been my goal just to cover the bills so that I don't have to pay for them myself. So
correct.
I guess I'm a hobbyist of sorts, but now it's a really good thing now.
You're fine. You work PWI. You're good.
Yeah, that's raking it in for sure.
I don't know if that answered your question about what I think about the independents nowadays, but
sure. No, I mean, it absolutely did. And it's certainly something that we've heard many times from different people in the past. Kind of looking at it with this tournament coming up, with basically you're stepping into a new environment. I mean, you're familiar with the ECWA, but you're familiar with the old ECWA. What sort of adjustments does it take to kind of come into a new arena like that?
I don't really know how to answer that because I have wrestled, you know, outside of ECWA. I've wrestled
all over
the tri-state area. So I've learned to come prepared for anything because, you know, you want to go to a show and sell merch. But there's times I walked into a show and it's a bomb scare. Like, it happens. There's times you know and respect who you're working with. There's sometimes you can't stand who you're working with, but you're just going in there and you're working with what you got. You're doing the best you can. Super 8, obviously, it's special to a lot of people, myself included, especially with Ryan Kavanaugh trying to restore it to the prestige that Jim Kettner had. No one, myself included, I'm not stepping in the ring to lose on the 23rd. I'm just, you know, if someone thought, you know, let's just bring in an old ECWA guy as a favor to Jim Kettner, he's out first round. That's not happening. I'm going in this, and I'm going in this to win it.
Nice.
So that's all I got. I'm always going to be humble and respectful, but when it comes down to it, I didn't show up to lose.
Well, one of the things I noticed about this year, a lot of times you'll get like 8 really young guys. And I'm not saying that you're old, but there's definitely a veteran presence there. I mean, Darius Carter's been around a few years. Greg Spitz certainly has been around a few years, and you as well. I guess what I'm asking is, What do you think that says about the tournament as opposed to like in past years where it might be a bunch of guys that you've never really heard of?
Well, in past years, and even everyone that you've interviewed and everyone that talks about it, you would always get like an Ace Darling, a Christopher Daniels, a Tommaso Ciampa when he was on his way up. And when everyone talks about the Super 8, they talk about the Jim Kettner Super 8. Like we were talking earlier when we had connection issues, there was no Super 8 between 2011 and 2022.
Sorry. That's a bold statement, by the way.
It is, and I'm going to get a lot of heat for saying it, but it's the truth.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know if you want me to repeat what I said earlier.
You're welcome to. I mean, I've gotten along with people from both eras. You know, I've actually been with the company pretty much since 2008 or 7 or whatever it was. So I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know, as far as that goes. But yeah, I mean, there were a lot of people that were upset when Jim sold the company and Mike Tartaglia took over.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jim moving on is understandable. Like when we were talking about earlier,
people
say that a lot. Jim was just looking to retire and he wanted to leave the company in good hands. And that didn't happen. It wasn't like Jim was bleeding money with the ECWA. He was making money. It was a money-making machine. He handed this off to somebody, said, here's this thing that can just make you put loads of money, and here's how to do it. Because Jim's a guy where, you know, he's not just going to give you the company and walk away. He wants to see you succeed with it. So he's going to give his advice. He's going to give his help. He's going to make sure you succeed. And they didn't take any of his advice. They just ran into the ground. They took the ECWA, and I'm sorry, for a while, they just flushed it down the toilet. They had to take the company out of Newark, Delaware. They moved somewhere in New Jersey, lost the fan base there. Like, they just let in floodgates of, well, they ruined it. And it wasn't till Ryan Kavanaugh took over, and I don't know the exact year or date that Ryan took over, but
2020, I think, or 19, the end of 19, I guess, right before the pandemic. Great time to buy a company.
Right. Especially a business that depends on you needing a live crowd there.
Yeah.
But until Jim Kettner went to watch the Super 8 in 2023, I'm sorry, that was the revival of the Super 8.
Understood.
So, the five-star stud, Joey Ace, he's the first one to win a Super 8 since 2010.
And you're going to be the second.
And I'm going to be the second.
There you go. What was it about the Jim Kettner shows in particular that were so special? I mean, obviously the fans that were there really appreciated it. It is different even to this day, even as hard as Ryan tries. You can never totally replicate something.
Correct. And I think the ECW was successful just because of Jim. Jim was the heart and soul of it. And it showed. Because, you know, starting out in wrestling, I knew what the ECWA was, like I mentioned. I didn't think I was good enough to get there. It wasn't until my friend Sean Bennett told me, he's flat out, he's like, you got to go. Come to a show. I'll introduce you to Jim. Talk to him. And, you know, go from there. You know, the rest is up to you. But Sean Bennett was the one that opened the door and really pushed me to go that direction and show up. And in meeting Jim, you can just tell he's sincere. He's a great guy. He's obviously a businessman. He knows how to promote and market and do all those other things as well, but he's just a good human being, and that shines through. And you can tell that with his audience. He's also very smart when it comes to the wrestling business, because one of the things Sean said after the fact, after I started there, is he pointed out about Jim being very smart marky before every independent was smart marky, but Jim was smart enough to go back to family friendly events way before anybody else. Jim had a very family friendly atmosphere when I was there, whereas every other independent is still to this day trying to relive the Attitude Era. And the Attitude Era was great, but if you need someone to come to your show, maybe there's a market. If you can get, you know, the game changer market. That's awesome. I'm not going to talk down about it if you have people showing up, but if you're trying to do attitude style wrestling and there's 10 people in the crowd, there's a problem. Maybe you need to change gears.
Was the locker room during the Jim Kettner era as family friendly, as family, like, was the locker room in the Jim Kettner era, was that a family? I've heard people say that, and I've heard people say they weren't sure.
I might be in the unsure category. I was still white meat. I still felt very green and new. So I don't think it was a hostile locker room. Like, I didn't think anyone is going to go through my bag. I didn't worry about anyone acting awry. But it did have its clicks. Like, you had the chaotic guy click, and the New York guy click, and this,
New York guys, yeah.
Yeah, the New York guy click. Exactly, they did all defer to their clicks and kind of stay there.
I got you. Okay. Well, for people that maybe aren't familiar with the Jim Kara Etner, I'm a mush mouth tonight. For people that maybe weren't familiar with the Jim Kettner era Super 8s, what can they expect that you're going to bring to this tournament that maybe they haven't seen in a few years, or that they've never seen really?
Everything in wrestling has been done. We've had a first everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going in there to win. The mindset to win. That's I'm not showing up to lose in round one, take my bag and wheel it out of there and being never heard of from again. I'm showing
right,
up.
Right.
That's, I don't know whether I connect, whether I don't, whether people love me or hate me. Like, I don't know what to expect in that regard. Because going into an ECWA in Morganville, I might be relatively unknown. But Morganville isn't far from where I live now, so it might swing the opposite way, and a lot of people that know who I am show up. So
you have the home crowd.
Yeah, I might have that going into this. So
for the first time, right? Yeah.
Maybe. I've wanted to, we might get into this later. I've wanted to cross promote what I do outside wrestling with wrestling, but they're too far. Like, I've had good promotions, but they're too far. Or B, they're local and they're garbage, and I'm not going to cross promote with garbage.
Right.
I'm sorry. I saw a flyer in Homedale. It's like, oh, wrestling. I should connect with. Then I looked at the flyer and I went, dirt, dirt, dirt. Nope. Not
can't do it.
You can't, because
I
meet with families all the time. I meet over 100 kids every weekend. And if I said, hey, do this wrestling thing, and it's a good show, it's reminiscent of what Jim Kettner had, and like I said, hopefully Ryan brings back, you know, a lot of people would come. Like, I see, I do video game truck parties for a living. Like, that audience is going to like wrestling. Like,
right.
But the thing is, with family events anyway, they're not going to drive an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, or, you know, a family isn't going to drive 45 minutes sometimes. Like, I'm not going to be helpful to somebody that's far, but I'm also not going to help somebody that makes me look bad, you know? So even if they're close, they got to be good.
Okay.
So whether the Super 8 this year turns into a one-off thing for me, or turns into a recurring, I'm on every ECWA show from now on because I can still go.
Sure.
That remains to be seen. But I think in that regard, because of what I do, I think I would be very helpful to shows and would like to do more moving forward. But I'm also self-aware that with my video game truck, I'm turning down more events than I can take on. I'm that busy. So I don't need to cross promote, but I would like to. I'm always going to have a soft spot in my heart for wrestling and would like to intertwine the two and have the two together.
So I gotta ask, what is a video game truck?
So I have a 32-foot trailer,
okay,
loaded with video games from
PS5
to the Xbox Series X to the Nintendo Switch, and I even have some arcade games in there like Pac-Man and Street Fighter 2.
Wow.
And pull up, and I do children's birthday parties for a living. So My two passions growing up were WWF wrestling and video games. So like we talked about earlier, if you find a way to do your passion and have it make money for you, you're a success. And I like to think of myself, maybe I'm wrong or big-headed, but I like to think of myself as a success. I can't talk anymore. Look how late it is. As a success. Because I'm doing the two things that I want to do. And, you know, like you talked about, there's nothing wrong with any other job out there, but I'm not an accountant on Monday. I'm master of the multiverse, like you put on the bottom of the screen. That's who I am in and out of the ring. Going from the video game to the wrestling ring, back to the game truck, and that sort of thing. And it's not like I stopped wrestling when ECW was sold off. I kept going. Mm-hmm. I went to Pro. I went to a bunch of other places. I most recently did Spartan Championship Wrestling not too long ago. So I haven't stopped wrestling. I'm still going to this day. It's
interesting.
Kind of crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's cool. So we were talking about the Super 8 tournament before, in particular the Jim Cara the Jim Kettner era one.
So we're both going to be stuttering messes by the end of this.
I know. But I mean, this has just been great, and just the memory lane stuff has just been amazing, Mike. So one thing that they were known for was not being garbage, right? And I think that this year has a really strong field. It's got a good mix of veterans and younger talent as well. Is there anybody in particular that you maybe are looking forward to locking horns with?
I mean, the eight look great. Everything's great, but I don't have anyone in particular. I'm just ready for anything.
Okay.
Because obviously, you know, with wrestling, something could change the day of. I saw today that someone was injured and the card has to change.
It's changed like three times already.
It'll be interesting to see who the replacement is. It'll be interesting to see, you know, if there aren't changes made the day of, I'd be surprised. But with wrestling, you know, something, card subject to change, and usually does. But I will be there on the 23rd, and I will be there to win.
Well, you mentioned, you know, during your ECWA tenure that Super 8 was huge for you. Have you had that kind of pinch me moment during your career? Look back on and be like, wow, I can't believe I did that. Have you had that?
I'm still having those.
Okay.
I mean, do you want to keep bouncing around? You want to go in chronological order? Because ECWA,
whatever.
As much as like we talked about, Jim kind of went back to the family friendly era way before anybody else. And he might still be one of the few, you know, that did. But when it came to the Super 8, that got everybody. Families, it got the smart marks, it got everybody's attention because the Super 8 was special. You knew they were putting it all on the line, and you knew Jim was going to fly in people. He was going to fly somebody in for the tournament. He'd have a name or two in there. And without getting criticized too much, Jim was cheap. anybody that met him, talked to him. But when it came to Super 8, he was going to splurge. He was going to make it special. He was going to fly people in. He was going to make it special. You knew it was on that night. And even the guys that weren't picked were 100% okay with, you know, being in that 6-man, 8-man tag, kind of, you know, that filler spot on the show, because you know you have to make way for the Super 8.
Sure. Sure. No, that's cool. Now, for people who either haven't seen you for a while or aren't familiar with what you can do in the ring today, what can people expect from the multiverse, Mike? Head or head in there?
Well, I'm not going to cut my hair, so don't expect that.
Okay.
I don't know why the last couple shows people chanted, cut your hair and Hoosier Bar.
You were so clean cropped when I knew you. It was funny.
It was.
Yeah.
What happened? I don't know.
We'll get older.
But
if I had hair, I'd do it like yours.
You just need one. You just throw one. You're fine.
That's all it would be. You don't need... Gotcha.
But yeah, I hate answering that question because I don't know. I don't want to say, you know, promise something I can't. I don't want to refer to my wrestling as an art. If I hear one more wrestler refer to their wrestler as an art, I'm going to like Jim Curry when he can't vomit. He's like, it's not an art. I'm coming in to win. I always want to promote myself, market myself. I want to sell merch at the game table. And you know how you do all that? By winning matches.
Okay. And there are a lot of ways to win, by the way, but I have a feeling you're going to have success in the ring.
I hope so. Yeah. You know, after ECWA folded, because ECWA, I always feel like that's where I was just starting out. That's where I was just becoming, getting a little bit of confidence. And that came from Jim, just Jim being Jim, Jim being a great human being. Like we talked about when we had the bad connection issues, the match with Fred Rosser, literally right before he got signed was like, and I wrestled Fred 1,000 times. And it was the first time that the roles reversed in front of a large crowd. Like it just made me be confident because I was like, all right, I can take it to this guy and I know it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be good. And it was just this the start of my confidence. And it wasn't until Right Coast Bro formed in the ECWA area after the second owners bought it. And granted, Jim had nothing to do with it. You can tell there was a lot of Jim and Kettner influence because JJ and Lisa did a great job. They were ECWA. JJ Krugai was an ECWA original, and you clearly took on a lot of that Jim Kettner influence and put that into his promotion. So it was really nice. And that's where I really felt like I came into my own. Because I started calling myself the Wrestlepreneur, like, because being an entrepreneur was real and it started catching on. And I've never been a politic guy. I've never like gone to promoter and be like, I need to do this, put me in this. Blah, 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 blah. I was always just show up, do your best, make the best out of whatever you're put in, and good things will come, good things will follow. And that's what I did with Right Coast Pro. And I think when they started, they kind of just expected me to pick up where ECWA was leaving off, where I was wrestling against the Chick Magnets and had a feud with Mozart. Then,
I mean, there was a hole there, you know? I mean, because...
Yeah, but then all of a sudden, I was doing no DQ matches with Chris Steeler, and I was in a ladder match, and I was doing all these things. And I like started to... And then I was in a Loser Gets a Pie in the Face match, which clearly had Jim Kettner idea written all over it. And I think it was around that time that Jim like showed his face at a show. Like I think Jim wanted to see that it was, you know, a good quality show before he would show his face at another wrestling event.
Right, right.
Because again, he didn't start it. He clearly had a student of the game that had his influence. But pie in the face match, and it's on YouTube. You can find it. And it was shortly after that event that JJ and Lisa approached me, and it made me feel special because they sat me down. They're like, we have all these guys, whether it's Chaotic guys and New York guys and this group and this group. And they're like, you're the only one that can work with all those groups. And it comes out great, which made me feel really special and really weird because I never got a compliment like that in wrestling.
Okay.
People don't tell you when you're doing good. You don't know. You either are just lost or you have a self-delusion idea that you're good and you're not. But having some like the promoter come to me and they even met with me. He was trying to get a developmental going, like a school, but he never got an actual building. And he invited Jim, and Jim sat me down and said the same thing. And I was like, this is too real. Like, I'm not used to this compliment stuff. It was like, show or two after they did that they were like, we want to go in the direction of you, like we want to put you in all this stuff. And again, I've never been a politic guy and said I need to do all these things. So someone coming to me and saying these things, and it was literally right when I was on my way to pick up the video game truck, and I was like, I want to say yes to everything you just said, but my pickup is packed. I actually bought this thing and I don't know what to expect when I pick it up. Like, am I gonna drive this trailer back to New Jersey and I have parties all of a sudden, or is it gonna start out slow and I have to get like that business gradually started, and you know, I can still do Ryko's Pro dates, intertwine both. But I ended up picking up the video game truck and hit the ground running. There was no gradual. I mean, hit the ground running was subjective. It's it wasn't 6 to 8 parties a weekend like now, where I'm out all day Saturday, out all day Sunday, and Friday during the week too. But I had enough where, you know, bringing in more than I'm losing. So hit the ground running, so to speak. So Right Coast Pro kind of fell off after that, which is really upsetting because kind of like ECWA, they also hold an equal special place in my heart. But I would do other shows in the meanwhile. I showed up at WrestlePro because Donovan wanted me to be there. And Donovan's a good friend of mine, and I showed up at other few hodgepodge places. WrestlePro was a hodgepodge, it was really good. But again, it was finding someone that, you know, would I could connect and work with and cross promote, because I'm sure wrestling promoters hear it all the time from someone blowing smoke going, yeah, I can get you all these things, and you know, it doesn't matter what I say, like if it's a good person that's been flooded with 1,000 other people promising things, they're just gonna blow me off. But
right,
or it's somebody that has a dingy wrestling thing that I don't want to be associated with. There was no in between. So something in Morganville in my backyard is going to be really interesting, and even for me, because it's, am I going to be doing this every show moving forward? I'd like to. I don't want it to be a one-off thing. I think I still got more good years to go, but we'll find out. If I step in the ring and go, ow. But no, I just wrestled, so I think I'm still good as far as like in-shape ability.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, I hope so. You never want to promise anything and then, you know, right. Separate a shoulder, like, and we're done here.
Yeah, end scene. right. No, I totally get it. You talk about, you know, having maybe a couple more years left in you. What do you see, ideally, what would come out of this tournament? What would be the ideal scenario for you in your career?
I'm going all the way and taking the trophy.
Okay. And then after that?
I'll be on the next show.
Great.
Yeah. I'm not going to take a trophy and walk away. I'm not that greedy. My plan isn't to fall off the face of the earth. I wanted to show up at other ECWA events earlier, just it didn't work out.
Okay.
So maybe I should have talked about the dates that are coming up following the Super 8 just to make sure I can do them, but I would like to do them. They are, you know, something I'd like to do. But yeah, as far as like, oh my God moments, it's really ECWA and Right Coast Pro that always have special moments. But the other thing, this is off topic. So, the Thursday before the Super 8, the March 21st, I was invited to Children's Hospital of New Jersey, and it's to present one of those big novelty checks for charity fundraising.
Okay.
For money that I raised for the hospital. And that's an oh my God moment, because never in my wildest dreams did I ever think I would be holding a big novelty check for a charity and presenting it to them. That's something surreal. So we'll see how that goes. But hopefully there's a picture of this that I can post or share somewhere, but being able to raise a lot of money for charity in 2023 was something. I started doing it in 2020, 2021. But 2023, I raised a lot of money that they reached out to me to present a big check. So it's kind of scary and nerve wracking, and I don't know what to expect with that either. So that's,
wow.
That's 2 days right before the tournament.
Okay. Well, hey, hopefully it doesn't throw you off your game, but I'm sure you'll be good. Michael, before we let you go, and you've been very generous with your time tonight across two different interviews, unfortunately, one of which people really aren't going to get to hear, but this has been amazing, and it's been great to catch up with you and to learn a little bit more about your story. Before I let you go, would I be able to ask a favor?
Of course.
Okay. Would you be able to record, we call it a bumper, basically, to play on the beginning of the show? You would just say who you are, tell people that are listening to In the Room. And then we'll have you on your way.
Okay. In the room with Brady Hicks or just in the room, period? Right.
You could throw in Brady Hicks, sure. I never hesitate to put myself over.
Well, you're carrying the podcast, so I feel like you got to
at this point, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, so just, you know, just you're the master. Just tell people who you are and remind them what they're listening to.
Do I get like a countdown? Are you going to throw it to me? Or
I can do that. I can do that. Yeah. Three.
Welcome, everyone. I'm the Master of the Multiverse, and you are in the room. with Brady Hicks.
I like that. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was always good to catch up with you.
I'm glad we were able to do this tonight.
So. Sorry it took so long for some connection issues.
And it's okay. Really it's the internet, you know. We used to do call-in radio, and I loved it. Well, I say radio, blog talk radio. You know what I mean, though. But that just was so unstable, believe it or not. And this has like just been a lot better. It's the quality is better usually, and it's just easier for people to get in touch. So here we are. But definitely. Thank you so much for the time, man. Really, I appreciate it. I look forward to the 23rd. It'll be great to see you again.
All right. Definitely. I look forward to it, too. Thank you again.
All right. Of course. Yeah. And this has been the Multiverse, Michael Blake. Ladies and gentlemen, we're done for the evening. It's been great to talk with you. All my co-hosts are all gone. And yeah, we're going to get out of here. But I want to thank everybody once again for tuning in to In the Room on the VOC Nation Wrestling Network, vocnation.com. Be sure to check out all the other great shows on the network as well. Pretty much each and every day of the week, there's a schedule available on vocnation.com. So be sure to check that out. WCW Retro. Pro Union's on hiatus, so they're not going to be with us tomorrow. WCW Retro, Howard Morgan had another commitment coming up, but you can be on the lookout for Wrestling with History. I understand Top Rope Radio's coming back real soon. Bumps and Thumps, of course, and lots of other great stuff, too, we're going to throw in there, so be sure to check it out, vocnation.com. And, of course, don't forget to visit ECWA Super 8 Tournament, Morganville, New Jersey, March 23rd at the Jersey Dugout. Tickets and information, ecwawrestling.com, and, of course, on social media at ECWA1967. Thank you to the callers. Thank you to the crew. Best crew I could ever ask for, really, even though they kind of left me hanging at the end there. But it's all good. It's been great to talk with you guys, and we'll be back next week. We're going to have Greg Spitz on the show. Take care. I'm real.